Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star or asterisk key followed by the digit one on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. Again, please press star one to ask a question. We will pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question comes from Michiel de Jong in ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. It's Michiel de Jong speaking, ABN AMRO.
Morning.
Good morning. My first question is about your... I have quite some, actually. My first question is about the interest expenses. On the direct result, it rose 30% quarter-on-quarter. Can you explain the difference? Is that due to the higher hedging position, or... what happened
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is yes, and Ray, maybe you should just answer the question.
Please repeat, because the line is so bad.
Okay, Ray, he's asking if the increase in interest cost is related to the hedging operations.
Yes, that is one reason, so that these interest levels are... changes have been lately bad for us, and that is the main main reason. There's no increases, but decreases in margins in current swimming past months, and that main reason is hedging.
Okay, and now. Rates are expected to stay low for a longer period of time after the Fed announced that last week. Can we expect you to stay at this level of hedging, or will you further increase your hedging position?
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the time we've been, as you know, we have been very slow to move on these hedging precisely because we've been... and this is the whole board has been in this position of being skeptical about the rising interest rates in the face of recessionary conditions and then the following sovereign debt crisis. So some have criticized us actually for not hedging enough all along. And so we have tried to strike a balance of hedging sufficiently, but not overreacting, and now we've also paid a financial price for hedging. We increased the hedging operations, and at this point, I don't see us, for the time being, doing any increased hedging from where we are now, unless we feel that the trend shifts toward rising interest rates again. If that happens, then we're in a position to act quickly. But for the moment, I don't see that happening.
All right. So we can expect a bit lower interest expense going forward than last quarter.
Unless conditions change.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Say Pulkovo is pre-let currently at 98.8%. Is that the level we can expect for Q3? And you expect it to be full?
Well, you know,
four.
Yeah. I think it's the move-ins are going to be going on, if I remember correctly. Metso is moving in October. And it's a big thing because there's like five divisions, and they're moving in phases. So I think... it'll be going on mainly October, November, so probably it's going to cross over from the third to the fourth quarter.
All right, so we don't have to expect a full or a large increase in occupancies there for the next quarter yet, but it's
hard.
Q4,
maybe
right?
The next quarter. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead, Ray.
And
we can say that in November, December time, final occupancy rate is nearby 100.
All right.
Yeah.
And last time you indicated
by the end of the year.
you might start with Bukva 2 when Bukva 1 is fully let. But you also indicated some problems will hit the St. Petersburg market in 2013-2014. So
well,
how likely is it you will pursue that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's much more cost effective to start building the next phase while the site is still there and hot, and the preparations and the design and everything. It's so much more expensive to start from scratch, especially in St. Petersburg. And I believe that we have so much momentum. We have also very good prospects who didn't fit into phase one, that even if there will be competition in 2013-14, I believe we can manage against competition. And I believe that the success of both the Pulkova Sky, our competitor, and Technopolis is increasing the demand in the district in general, and that our whole service infrastructure now being in place positions us where we should attack and we will attack, and we can, in my opinion, handle competition. And in fact, given the size that we're talking about now, so we're now at around 24,000 square meters, we need to double that in order to be at scale in any event. And I'd like to add that since the services have been concentrated into phase one, phase two will be almost purely bulk office space, flexible office space, and as such will be much more efficient and therefore much more profitable for us. So it's essential to launch this second phase, and I believe that we should move now before the market moves into such an upcycle that the construction costs are not under control.
All right. All right. So we can expect you to start that in the first half of 2012.
Certainly, I would like to be able to bring the investments decision to the board of directors, if possible, by the year end. But that, you never know. So we have to look at the market conditions. We have to look at the prospect lists, and we'll see. But my goal would be that we launch in 2012, and then it's roughly 1.5 to 2 years to completion.
Sure. And you indicate on the international acquisition side, you indicated you're currently looking at the Nordic and Baltic countries. Well, if I remember correctly, last time you mentioned Denmark and Poland. Are these entirely off the table now?
No, on the contrary, we're very much engaged in these countries. Also, I mentioned the Baltics, so we're looking at Lithuania. We're looking at Denmark, we're looking at Poland, and we have cases going on in all these countries with varying levels of probability.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very active right now, but I'm not in a position to predict how long it will take us to move forward to reach the goal line, nor am I in a position to assign probabilities at this stage to these cases, because it's just too much uncertainty involved.
All right, now fair enough. I totally understand. And then you sound a lot more optimistic about your Oulu site compared to the last call.
Yeah. That's true. I'm more optimistic because we've had so many. No, I guess it happens when you have one after another successful deal closed, and big cases. We have an excellent team, an excellent team leader there. They're really charged up, and they're just closing deal after deal, and all the reports coming out of there are saying that there's lots of companies that want to expand. There's lots of companies looking for space. And there's just real positive vibe going on, and people are seeing this change. They're seeing how serious it is, and then they're seeing it as an opportunity, and they're playing offense rather than defense, and that's showing up in deals. So that's why I'm optimistic based on the facts on the ground, not you know, any kind of instinct. It's just what's going on right now up there.
All right. Very good. That was it from my side. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, Michel, and thank you for your excellent questions.
As a reminder, to ask a question today, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Atiko Sior in Evli Bank. Please go ahead. Mr. Antico Sior, your line is open.
Antico, you there?
Hi, yeah, I'm here. Just one question on your expenses side. Now operating expenses in Q2, 15% lower than on average Q4, Q1. Can you open up a bit, you know, what is making the difference, and any comment whether this is the, you know, good level to assume to go going forward? Thank you.
Ray, you want to take that?
Please, Ante, repeat, because the line is, how to say, awful.
See if I get it right. Okay, so Ray Arte was asking if, you know, to explain our operating costs, the difference between the second quarter and the first quarter.
And difference. So
basically, he's asking if this is the normal level.
There were in Q1, there were in a normal level. There were some, some internal development, but during second quarter, those were done, and the second quarter was really good.
Okay, so basically the,
yeah,
the level,
yeah,
level that we see in the second quarter is a good proxy for going forward also. Obviously taking into account that there's new buildings, I mean, on the stream, but, you know.
Yeah, so you're asking if Q2 if the second quarter is a good template for our overall stabilized cost level. And, of course, each quarter has its own special features. Winter has its features. Summer has its features related to maintenance costs. But I think that, give or take changes in growth. I mean, the key thing you have to remember, Antti, is that if we have growth, if we have, as you mentioned yourself, if we have new buildings coming in either through completion of construction or acquisition, that can have an impact on the costs overall absolute level. But if we talk about the relative level, then we as long as we don't have any major acquisitions, then we're looking, I think, at a pretty normal situation right now.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
But I do want to have one caveat, and that is that if we make acquisitions where we're acquiring significant-sized entities which have a different physical structure from what we have here in our on average, then that can change the cost structure.
Sure.
Yes, if there's mergers and we are in DDT, it means expenses.
Yeah. But that hasn't happened yet, so it's speculative. Anything else?
That's good, thank you. That's all from my side.
We'll take our next question from Robert Werdman in Kempen & Company. Please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Robert Werdman from Kempen. If I understand correctly, you're still on acquisition mode. And I was wondering how you are going to finance that, taking into consideration that your equity ratio is roughly at your long-term average or your long-term target. And especially with basically the share price where it is right now versus what the equity per share is. So if you could give a little bit more guidance on that, that would be very helpful.
Nice question. Okay, so yeah, excellent question. And you pointed out very clearly the challenges that if you have a low share price relative to your NAV, you want to continue making acquisitions, and you have your equity ratio reaching its historical target, or this is the target that our board has set, then it's quite interesting to see how you're going to manage it. And there are numbers of options, and our board hasn't taken a position on what if at this point. So all I can tell you is that there are different options on how to do that. We can, of course, you can do rights issues. If you, that's one option you can do. And of course, in that situation where you do rights issues, it's quite clear that our main owners are going to be wary of dilution. So, you know, I would expect that rights issues, private placements are possible. We're investigating the use of other instruments. Other than those, for example, or basically everything is on the table, not just share issues. And then, of course, there's always the possibility of reviewing whether that 35% minimum equity ratio target for the shorter to medium term is how absolute that is, which is the best thing.
Mr. Keith Silveran, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Okay, is anybody still in there? It's been a long pause. So I had Kempin last thing. I tried to answer, but the line went dead. Are you still there? Can anybody hear me?
Mr. Robert Witherman, your line is open.
Perfect. Yes, I'm still there. I don't know what happened, but we were discussing basically the options that you have for if a perfect acquisition comes by, and how are you going to finance that?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you heard my answer. Did you hear my answer at all?
Yes, up until private placement, and that you are looking at perhaps other solutions, and then the line was disconnected.
Yeah, okay. So, believe me, I didn't disconnect just to avoid answering your question. the fact is that it's something to think of, to actually decide when we get to that point. Now, we assume we have a really good project that has positive yield impact, positive EPS impact. Our owners are going to want to finance that one way or the other through some combination of debt and other instruments. And what those other instruments are, we have to look at when the time comes. All options are on the table, including private placements, rights issues, convertibles, and allowing the debt equity ratio, equity ratio to decline if necessary. All options are on the table.
Okay. Would you also, for instance, consider a joint venture where you are the asset manager and you find, for instance, a pension fund which wants to take a stake in that particular object?
Sure, sure. That's an option we would definitely consider. And particularly when you remember that several of our biggest owners are, in fact, pension funds. So I think that we need to have control of the asset in order for us to execute our concepts, but we're not. We've already got a joint venture in Estonia, which is working extremely well. In that case, we have a 51% majority shareholding. But having a partner is absolutely an option which will be on the table.
Okay, well, this was my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert. Anything else? Is there anyone else left on the line?
As a reminder, to ask a question today, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. We will pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal. There are no more questions at this time.
No wonder, yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, Irina. I'm very sorry that we didn't have a good line today, and we'll do our best to make sure that the technical stuff works better next time. Have a great day, and if anyone needs to get more information, then don't hesitate to call me directly. I'd be happy to personally answer your questions anytime today or during the weekend or next week. Thanks very much, and goodbye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.